You have a Bible, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, if you're following in the pew Bibles, it's page 977. Matthew 12, I want to read the first 21 verses. It's entitled, Lord of the Sabbath. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day, and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. And we end our reading at verse 21. May God bless his word to us. As I was reading that passage earlier this week and preparing for today, I thought about the pandemic that we have lived through and are still living through. One of the most fascinating aspects of the COVID pandemic, I found, was the number of rules and regulations that were brought in, imposed, some might say, and what you could do and what you couldn't do. Not only were there a lot of regulations, but from time to time they would change, so it was actually quite difficult keeping up with what you were meant to do and not do. Were we allowed to exercise at one stage once or twice a day? Was it permissible to drive to the local park to have your daily walk, or did you have to walk to the park to have your daily walk? How many friends could you have in your bubble? The word bubble took on a whole new significance. If you're at a workplace and someone produces a cake, is it illegal? The gathering, not the cake? Or maybe the cake is illegal? These and other questions have exercised the greatest minds in our country. More seriously, people were dying. Loved ones were not allowed into hospitals and nursing homes. Ministers weren't allowed in to pray with people. And of course, funeral numbers were drastically restricted and many of the normal and necessary elements of mourning were banned. It was a terrible time. Now, we know that the reasoning behind the regulations was good: to protect people, to protect the NHS staff, to ensure that those who needed the most care got it. But at various stages in all of it, at some times, maybe you were like me and you were asking, is there any flexibility? Is there any compassion? Is there any mercy? I thought of those times when I read this passage. You see, for the Jews, the Sabbath was very, very special. It was a gift from God. In fact, it was seen as one of God's greatest gifts. It reminded us that He's the Creator and we are His creation. It reminded us that rest was important. We need to rest. The Sabbath was a real benefit for mankind and could easily be abused. And so over the years, the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees would hedge the Sabbath around with rules and regulations to protect the Sabbath. Sabbath, of course, means to cease work. Now, Scripture itself has very little to say on the Sabbath, what you could and couldn't do. The Mishnah, which has all the kind of additional regulations, even it says the rules about the Sabbath are as mountains hanging by a hair, for the teacher of Scripture is scanty, but the rules are many. In the Mishnah, there were 39 categories of activity which were prohibited on Shabbat, and these were divided into four groups. There were 11 categories of activities that you could not do, which would mean that you were baking bread. There were 13 categories of activities that you were not to do, because otherwise you would be making a garment. There were 9 categories or activities you had to avoid, otherwise you would be making leather goods. And the final 6 categories are activities where you had to avoid doing those because they related to building a structure. However, on the other side, the following activities were encouraged on Shabbat: spending Sabbath together with one's own family. You could go for temple attendance for prayers. You could visit family and friends, but there was a prescription in terms of the distance that you could walk. Is this beginning to sound familiar? You could have a number of guests in your home. You could sing special songs for the Shabbat. And you could, of course, read, study, and discuss the Torah and the various commentaries. Now, in general, Jesus was a good Jew. Jesus observed the Sabbath. But in some of the finer points, especially in those relating to compassion and mercy and flexibility, well, Jesus was constantly in conflict with Pharisees. And here we have one of those incidents where in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field, and some of them are maybe absent-mindedly, but they were hungry. They kind of brushed their hands through the grain and took it and rubbed it in their hands and began to eat it. And of course, this was one of the things in the Sabbath which was regarded as working, reaping, winnowing, harvesting. Now, it's interesting that Matthew places this incident immediately after what we heard last week, where Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And within a few verses, Matthew is then placing this episode and this discussion. And surely in Matthew's mind, what he is saying is the Lord of rest is here. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he is contrasting that with all the heavy laws and rules and regulations that are being put on the Sabbath by the Pharisees. So when he is accused of letting his disciples break the Sabbath, of eating the ears of corn, as we said, it was a kind of reaping and winnowing that was not permitted on the Sabbath. It was considered work. And so Jesus refers to a couple of things in Scripture. First of all, he refers to an incident with David and his companions who ate the consecrated bread in the tabernacle. And he also refers to the priests who are working every Sabbath in the temple. Now, the point is not that David and the priests were okay to be doing what they were doing. What they were doing was actually against the law. David and his soldiers should not have been eating the consecrated bread. That was for the priests to eat. The high priest at that stage was Ahimelech. And whenever David and his companions came, they said they were hungry. And Ahimelech said, well, the only bread I have are the fresh loaves, the 12 fresh loaves on the table, which only the priests can eat. And they can only eat it the next day. Whenever fresh bread is put on the table, then the old bread is taken away and the priests can eat that bread. So it was unlawful for anyone else to eat it and certainly not to eat the fresh bread. Ahimelech asks David, have you kept, you and your men kept yourselves from women? They say, yes, we have. So in weighing up what he would do, he decides to give them the holy bread. And so Jesus is saying, my disciples are hungry. Here was something necessary. It was a trivial breach. They were not harvesting the whole field. It was just a few grains along the side of the path. If David could break the law out of necessity and mercy, then surely my disciples can do this. And as well as that, I think the point he is making, a greater than David is here. A greater king is here. A greater kingdom is amongst you. And then in terms of the second argument, it applies to the priests. In the most literal reading of the Sabbath, all people should cease from work unless their life was in danger. The priests serving in the temple should not therefore literally serve on the Sabbath, because to do so would be to break the law, because they're working. So in the strictest of interpretations, and in fact Jesus hints at this in verse 5, he said the priests desecrate the Sabbath, or profane the Sabbath. That's a very strong word. So Jesus acknowledges, actually, in the most literal terms of ceasing from work, the priests are working and therefore desecrating the Sabbath. But of course, common sense says, well, they have to work because they are facilitating the worship of the people. Similarly, in our culture, where there is an understanding that on the Sabbath day, which for many of us now is Sunday, we treat it as a different kind of day from the others, but there is an expectation that doctors will work, electricity workers will work and keep the power being generated, nurses will work, people who are in the emergency services, the police, the fire, and so on, they will work because it is works of necessity, it is works of mercy, it is needed, it is essential. Ministers should work on a Sunday. After all, it's the only day we work, so we should work on a Sunday. So we are desecrating the Sabbath principle, but actually it is a work of necessity. It is a work that is required to be done. But that is the problem, isn't it, with rules and regulations? There are always exceptions. And this is what makes the lawyers rich. The more rules you have, the more rules you need, and then you have to interpret the rules. This is one of the reasons living under Jesus and his kingdom is so much better than even the Old Testament. There are much less rules. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not rules as such. Jesus tries to get behind the spirit of the law. And of course, in getting to the spirit of the law, in effect, what you do is you raise the bar. Leon Morris says, it is the practice of compassion that should distinguish the people of God rather than the punctilious observance of outward regulations, no matter how sacred. In Jesus' kingdom, the fewer the rules, the better. The Old Testament law was summarized in 10 commandments or 10 words, and it is good to follow them. Jesus summarized those 10 words even further, right down to a couple of phrases. We have that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. What is the greatest commandment, he is asked. He replies in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus is a genius. He summarizes all the law, all the prophets, all the writings in two phrases. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do these and you'll not go far wrong. And yet today our lives are hedged about with so many rules and regulations. And this is where we who are religious, who are church people, have to be so careful. We who, like the Pharisees, want to protect the gift can be overzealous. And we can surround the gift with all manner of rules and regulations which, in effect, nullify the goodness of the gift. And it turns into a burden and it weighs people down. We need to exercise wisdom and compassion. It is so easy to be legalistic. We need to learn how to be empathetic and understanding and gentle and merciful. We need to major on the majors and discern the difference between a major issue and a minor issue. Each situation and circumstance can be so different, but as we live in the kingdom of God and as we seek to live according to Jesus' principles, we don't throw out the principle of Sabbath. The principle of Sabbath is a good principle. But we need to be careful in how we apply it. I came across this week a lovely illustration or a lovely quotation from A.W. Tozer. He was speaking about unity, but I think actually it also applies to exercising pastoral wisdom and how we work out the wise thing to do. He says this, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshippers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart actually nearer to each other than they could possibly be if they were just unity conscious and if they turned their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. So in looking to Jesus, you're actually automatically drawn closer together in unity. And the same applies whenever we are seeking to live out the kingdom principles. We can very much listen to the echo chamber of other people who think similarly to us, but actually we look to Jesus first and foremost, say, you know, as they used to say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And then follow that in the Spirit. So in terms of applying the Sabbath to our lives, the spirit behind it is that we should have a day when we rest, when we cease from work, and when we give time to worship and to meeting with God's people. Those are the key elements of Sabbath: rest, ceasing from work, worshiping God, and meeting with God's people. Beyond that, there is a lot of flexibility. Beyond that, we don't want to be drawing up a list of what is permissible to do and what is permissible not to do. We leave that to the individual person's conscience. Was Jesus overturning the Sabbath? No. But he was saying, in exercising and loving and following the Sabbath, you can do acts that are good. You can do acts that are merciful, acts that are necessary, acts that bring healing. Then it is permissible. He was not overturning the Sabbath, but he was making clear that he was Lord of the Sabbath, and all the goodness of the Sabbath found its goodness in him. His kingdom is coming. He is greater than David. He's a greater king. He's greater than the priests. He's a great high priest. He's even greater than the temple itself, because all the sacrifices of the temple are found complete in him. Is it any wonder that the Pharisees could not stick this? Because he was undermining David, he was undermining the priesthood, he was undermining the temple, and he was undermining the Sabbath as far as they were concerned. And so in verse 14, we read, the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So the irony is that you can't heal on the Sabbath, you can't eat on the Sabbath, but you can plot to kill on the Sabbath. That's how bad it had come, it become. An overriding concern for Jesus was mercy and compassion. And he quotes from the Old Testament from two places. He quotes from Hosea, verse 7. He says, mercy trumps even sacrifice. And he quotes from Isaiah. It's the longest quotation that Matthew has from the Old Testament. The Messiah is not someone who comes to crush opposition. No, he is gentle. Jesus showed his authority and his concern for the helpless and the downtrodden. He has a broken reed ministry. Now, reeds were very common in Israel. If you had a broken reed, you simply threw it away and you went and got a new one because there were so many reeds. But Jesus takes this illustration and he says, give me the broken reeds. I will take the broken reeds. I have a place for the broken reeds. Don't throw them away. Don't discard them. My ministry is to heal those who are broken. The Pharisees would lift a sheep from the pit on a Sabbath day, but they would not allow a healing to take place of a human being. Their perspectives, their priorities were totally skewed. They meant well. And we as religious people can mean well, but we can do a lot of harm. In conclusion, we worship the Lord of mercy, the one who is gentle. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He is a gentle king. He wants to ride gently into your life. And yes, take control, but he doesn't force himself on you. He knocks. He whispers. And then when he enters, slowly by his Spirit, he starts to change things, change our priorities. Yes, one day he will crush opposition. One day he will come riding as the victor with a sword in his mouth, and he will crush all the opposition. But for now, his kingdom is still coming gently, winsomely, with mercy. And as we go into a new week, this is the good news we carry. A Savior who has a mercy ministry. And we are part of that mercy ministry. We are part of that compassion. Gently looking for the broken reeds and inviting them into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. Shall we pray? And as we pray, let's think about those maybe in our lives who are going through difficult times and who need some mercy, some gentleness, some compassion. Maybe there's someone in our lives that we have been harsh with, and we need to apologize or be reconciled to show love. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and minister into each of our lives and each of our situations. You know us so well and so intimately. Take this word and minister gently into each of our lives. I'm reminded of where it says that fathers should deal gently with their children. So, Father, help those of us who are fathers to do that so that our children do not resent us. Help us to be fathers of wisdom and grace who guide, who deal wisely. Help us in our work this week as we go into different work situations to show forth the gentleness of Jesus Christ with whoever we meet, that we might point them to your kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's people said, Amen.